This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 o'clock hour here as we try to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It is DFW Sports Station, and tonight your Dallas Stars season kicks off. Some of the other games, of course, underway, but the Stars will visit Nashville at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus, and joining us, as he does every year, to open up and recap the season is our guy, Brent Severn. Are you surprised to hear from? Were you just waiting for this phone call?
I was sitting yesterday just waiting. I waited at my desk. Nothing happened, so I was like, all right. I guess they're not interested this year, but thank you very much. It's the highlight of my Thursday at 8 o'clock, for sure.
Sevy, is this title or bust, or is that too extreme with the expectations?
Well, listen, this is not football, fellas. I know you guys are like that with the Cowboys every year. Everybody's on suicide watch if they don't get it. But, you know, no, quite honestly, this is a great team, right? The Stars do have such an opportunity. They're building. And usually if you look at teams that do win the Stanley Cup, there's this progression. There's this kind of increase in talent, and you're adding layers to your team, and things are getting better. And that's where the Stars are, right? They're in a situation where they feel that they've improved on the defensive aspect of their game. They feel like Jake Ottinger is going to come in and not a rebound here, but be a little bit more consistent throughout the season. Excuse me. And ultimately, it ends up being a strong playoff push. And everything is so close with the NHL and parity in the league. It's tough to win this trophy, but if you look around the league, the Stars have just as good a chance as anybody.
Is it a situation where do you see a parallel in the expectations, though, then, between this and, say, 99?
Well, even last year, they had they really felt, you know, the window. These guys like Jamie Benn and Sagan, they've been around enough to know that these windows that teams have, you know, they fluctuate. You get close, and then you got to restart. So they understand adding these layers right now. And last year, too, what an opportunity they had. And to get by the Edmonton Oilers, you never know, against the Florida Panthers in the finals. They're almost there. And it's such a minute difference between teams. It's luck. It's injuries. It's goaltending. Everything has to come into play. So the Stars have everything stacked up. Their expectations are very high. But they also know that they've got to start from the bottom, which is today, winning games and work your way up through October, November, and then hopefully in April, your game is coming into where it should be so you can win a hockey game. So there's a lot of layers that go on to it. Expectations are high. But DeBoer even said it when we opened up for the Victory Plus. We had the inaugural opening up of our channel. He was in there and he said, yeah, we're starting at the base of the mountain. So they feel that, okay, they got to get their structure in order. They work through it in camp. And then from there, you're not going to win it today, right? You're not going to win the Stanley Cup today. Long way to go. But if you're a Stars fan or even a fan in the city of hockey, this is going to be a great year, I believe.
Sevy, how do you feel about their offseason? And can you make the case that their, you know, biggest offseason development was just the growth and development and maturation of those young players that you just talked about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. Those are the guys that you got to step in, right? On the back end, first of all, the Stars got bigger. If you watch the Florida Panthers last year, or even last game against Boston that they played, the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup. They're a big, strong, heavy team. They got a little nastiness to them. They went and bounced around the Boston Bruins the other day in their first game. So you look at that, it's kind of a copycat league where you want teams to be stronger, you want bigger, you still got to have that skill and that depth. So the Stars brought in Ilya Lyubushkin, Matt Dumba, you know, Brendan Smith is also a big guy that'll work the back end, so they're going to be tougher in that area. When you look in the forward grouping, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the younger players that are going to come up, and of course Wyatt Johnson, who they felt was the best overall player last year, and of course Robertson's got to chip in, Roope Hintz, those kind of guys have to come up and really lead the charge offensively. The biggest thing with the forwards, though, is they lost their old grandpa, the dad of the group, in Joel Pavelski. Mm. And to me, that's one of the things that we should watch, is how this team reacts this season with him out of the lineup, but more importantly, what he does in the dressing room. The Stanley Cup teams and the championship teams that I've been involved, there's always one guy in the middle of the dressing room that kind of organizes everybody, whether it's the top-end talent, making sure that they're buying into the team system, or bringing up the lower levels of your lineup, and everybody kind of meets in the middle. And when you do that, it's like steel. You put it together, it's hard to bend. And with Pavelski out of there, I wonder who's going to step up and do that. So those are the couple things that we're going to be watching as the season unfolds.
Talking with Brent Severn here on 105 Through the Fan. Dallas Stars getting their season kicked off. Brent, when you look at the young guys that are on this team, you know, Logan Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston and Thomas Harley, how important have these deep postseason runs been the last couple of years in terms of getting those guys seasoned and ready to really compete?
Yeah, it's part of that process that I talked about. Stanley Cup teams have to have the experienced guy in there that's been through it. They have to have the kids that have kind of made the steps, getting beat up a little bit. You got to get punched in the face a little bit to learn how to fight. You got to get punched in the face and learn how to battle in the corner, get to the front of the net. And the consistency of the National Hockey League is one of the toughest things that these kids have to find, and that's what they are. I talked to Logan Stankoven, which is going to be a great player for the Stars, a young player that one of the things that he said, the first thing he said to me is that, I said, well, what is the biggest part of the NHL? And he said, consistency in scoring. Because these kids were high-level guys. Harley was great. Stankoven, Wyatt Johnston, they could score goals in the junior level. But when they come to the National Hockey League with the bigger, stronger goaltenders, the defensemen that are getting in their grill all the time, it's a little tougher to score goals, and bringing out that consistency is tough, and especially in a playoff run, that it's going to be important for them to do that. So the more they've gone through it and they understand kind of what happens if you don't maintain that consistency, you're not going to win hockey games, or you're not going to make it all the way, and that's what they've learned from this. So, yeah, they're going to step up their game. You're going to notice these guys this season. It's going to be fun to watch.
Sevy, do you have Edmonton as clearly the toughest competition in the West? And if not them, how would you break down the Nashville, Colorado, Vegas?
Yeah, with Colorado, right, you can't count them up. But, of course, with Nichushkin out of the lineup, their captain Landeskog still able to play. That's a big chunk of it. It also takes away from some of their cap. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. They do have Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. They've got some guys that can do it. But the team that I'm really paying attention to today, or today throughout the entire season, is this Nashville Predator team. Mm. The ability, what they have done in the summer to really stack their organization, that's pretty amazing what they've done. You know, he signed Steven Stamkos, Tampa Bay Lightning. We know what he's done against the Stars and what he's done winning Stanley Cups. Jonathan Marchessault, a guy who can score some goals. They add him to a five-year contract. Brady Shea, a defenseman on the back end, seven-year contract. So they're counting on these guys to get a team which has been mediocre, kind of middle of the pack in the Central Division, trying to make their push, but which has a strong team. This team, to me, could either be the biggest story in the NHL in two ways. One, they could be the best team in the NHL, or else they could just implode because they have way too much talent, which doesn't mesh. So this game tonight, I'm really interested in this one. So if you want to watch a game, just an early game for the Dallas Stars, this is going to be a fun one.
Brent, you know, when you look at, you mentioned Victory Plus just a second ago, and there, these last two runs, it feels like there's been a lot of interest generated within the city of, like, man, I want to get more into the Stars, and I want to have this kind of attention to them. But it's a lot of times been an issue of accessibility for a lot of people. With the broader audience that can be hit here, how much do you think this season is ripe for, like, the city of Dallas to just get on board and become a big-time Stars town?
Well, yeah, you have to be winning here, right? And hockey's kind of a lower-tiered sport in this city, and that's fine. But when it's going strong, people love it. And we have a great base of people, and the biggest complaint is, like, how do you watch? Like, you guys know, everybody wants to watch me. They want to see the pregame. They don't care about the game. They want to see in-between intermissions. People are dying. They're dying to see Brent Sever just break it down for everybody. So everybody's happier for that. Whatever the Stars do is secondary. But, yeah. So, yeah, no, it is going to be it's going to be exciting because now people can watch it. All you got to do is load it on your app. Away you go. And it's going to be fun. So especially in the four regions that we're in, People that haven't been able to see us are able to load up and go on. And the kids, younger kids, and I call anybody that's way younger than me in their 30s and 40s, they know how to stream. They use the Netflix and all this. So this is an easy way to get out there and watch the Stars. And then you can go back and you can watch some games and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's a good thing. And it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to present that to people. And now we have on the broadcast side of it, we kind of run our own show. Like we have got a great broadcast crew. The people that put it together, they have such a passion for it. And you know, Razor and Josh obviously do a wonderful job, and they're fun to watch. So this is a good product. It's good TV. And now if the Stars can have the season that we all expect, yeah, this is going to be memorable for everybody.
Sevy, do you like the Four Nations face-off they're going to do? They're going to do, Sean, they're replacing the All-Star game. They're going to do this Four Nations thing. Do you like that, or is that a gimmick?
What, have you watched All-Star games?
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't watch them. I really don't. And I'm not afraid to say that because I don't like it. And even the Olympics, for me, is okay. I love hard-nosed, tough hockey. And I think the competitiveness that will come out of this, because when you represent your country, and I was fortunate to do it a couple times, it's a different feeling. You have this pride. You really want to put your best foot forward. And it's just not going through the motions of another All-Star game, which I've been to them live and I've watched them on TV. It's just not my cup of tea. But this, it's enticing. It's going to be fun to watch. And I know players are talking about it. I know the coaching staff for those areas for the nations are real excited about putting teams together. And that's best on best with your country's pride at stake. I think it'll be good. I'm excited.
Can the superstitions start like right before game one? Does it have to begin with the winning streak? Did you have any yourself?
Everybody is superstitious. I don't know if you guys are or anything you do, but we are. Like, I put my stuff on the same way every year, every game for 24 years of hockey. And I had the same routine in the pros from day one to the end of the day. You rarely change it. So superstitions start right from the beginning, even in preseason. And you just probably add to them as the season goes on.
What about as a broadcaster? Like, does it have to be the headset on one way, or you know, you got to look in a certain camera the first any broadcast?
Yeah, it's how the makeup goes on. You know, if I put it on, I don't want to wear it too long. You know, 1 o'clock is a little too early. You know, 5:30 is a little too late. I don't know. That's the toughest part for me. So no, I do not have any broadcast stuff that I have to worry about.
You're the man.
For the record, I do not wear makeup. Just, I got to make that very clear.
Did you like tell them that off the jump? You're like, no, you refuse the makeup person?
Yeah, first of all, we don't have makeup people. It's regional sports, all right? Second of all, yeah, no, I will not. They tried once, but no, my forehead is going to gleam. You know what I mean?
You're the man. Thank you so much. We won't keep you waiting by the phone too long this season. Enjoy the start of it tonight. We'll be watching.
I can't wait to talk to you guys again. Have a great day, fellas.
The great and sarcastic Brent Severn, Victory Plus here with the Dallas Stars season kicking off.
Man, it's there's a few teams in the NHL that are like have the expectations at the level of the Stars. Edmonton's one, Florida's one, obviously the Stars, and then you might get two or three other teams, but it is almost as close of a championship or bust as you can get in a sport that is as random as the NHL.
ESPN just picked them in their big hockey preview, just picked the Stars to win it all and said, like, this is as battle-tested as you can get, mm-hmm. and it's really now or never for them.
How is Lieutenant Dan doing with a Hurricane Milton update? What are they going to do about the race season next year? And Babe Laufenberg at 840 previews of Lions. All that next here on Sean and RJ.
Morgan's 2-1, swinging a line drive down the left field line, hooking toward the corner, fair ball! Keith will score, Torkelson around first, he's heading to second, 3-0 Tigers in the sixth.
Major League Baseball playoffs going down last night.
Fun night. Tigers take a 2-1 series lead. They will try to wrap the series up today, so you get the two games coming up today. Dodgers stave off elimination with a big shutout victory over the Padres, and Yankees take a 2-1 series lead, and the Mets get a grand slam in the sixth from Lindor, and they beat the Phillies 4-1. So the Phillies in the last 3 years had a 2-1 lead on the Astros in the World Series. They didn't win a game the rest of the year of the way. They got no hit in the process. Last year they're up 3-2 on the Diamondbacks, and they lose that series. They had no business losing that series. And then this year they don't even make it out of the division series.
Babe Laufenberg coming up at 8:40. As I say every year during the baseball and basketball playoffs specifically, I love when my team is in it because it makes me watch the other ones so much more. I would like everyone to rank the sports playoff watching without your teams in it, the amount that you watch. When the Rangers, when the Mavericks, Cowboys are not in it, or your college team. So for me personally, I'm going to watch every NFL playoff game no matter what. That's one. When it comes down to like the Final Four with college football, I'm going to watch that no matter what. I also went to American University, so I don't have a football team. I'm a college football orphan.
I assume that'll change this year, right? Because now it's a playoff, right?
Well, Vandy's not going to be there, so that's not going to change. Well,
no, yeah. But like,
I'll watch the SEC.
A 12-team playoff now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm with you. The bowl games, the Final Four you had to watch, but like, you know, if you missed the Sugar Bowl, you missed the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I'd never watched any of that. I did not care whatsoever unless it was the Final Four. And then I'm struggling with my basketball versus baseball. Like, I enjoy watching basketball more than baseball, but I feel like playoff baseball is better, especially early rounds, than playoff basketball.
First round of basketball is tough because it's a lot of mismatches.
Yeah. The favorite's going to advance.
Really, I mean, almost exclusively into the Final Four.
Yeah.
The favorite's going to advance.
So, like, which other sport do you check out on the most? And, you know, when I know there's a Game 7 in hockey, I'm going to put that Game 7 on. Absolutely. That is amazing, incredible drama. So, which sport do you check out on the most in the postseason when your team is not in it? And how would the top of your list look?
Yeah, I'm same as you. Like, NFL's at the top, then college football. Like, my team doesn't have to be in it at all for me to follow along with March Madness all the way through to the title. Like,
yeah.
Texas doesn't have to be in there at all for me to watch all of that. So those are all near the top. I like the NBA playoffs a ton. I'll watch NBA playoff basketball any game that's on. MLB playoffs is one that's a little, it's easier to check out on. Like, I'm not super interested in checking in on the Tigers and Guardians. Like I would be checking in on a random NBA playoff game. But there's also, when you talk about the drama of a Game 7 in hockey, the drama of just, and it makes sense why Chop loves it, because it is about the most masculine thing out there in professional sports, just the
a fight,
mano a mano, like two-strike, ninth inning, pitcher versus batter. Like, it's so intense, the playoff level. And so I generally check in on all playoffs, and I'm interested in it, but baseball is definitely going to be the one where if my team's not in it, it's harder for me to remain engaged for a whole game.
And you would just do everything except flip baseball, basketball. And where would you throw hockey into that? You could go
football. I mean, I would watch any
or
football.
Or you might put baseball one.
Football is to the point where it's so, like, I'll watch any NFL playoff game.
Unless you're doing baseball.
Unless I'm doing baseball?
Yeah, unless you're out at baseball on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I mean, if I'm there, but that's January. So that's not usually.
Not baseball season?
No, not yet. The college ball right there. Yeah, I would do baseball over basketball, especially in the early rounds. But there's no doubt, like, if you don't have a dog in the fight, it's much easier to watch, I believe, the basketball playoffs just because you're going to get the superstar.
Okay.
Whereas in baseball, you know, and that's the problem with baseball is, like,
yeah,
we have become more increasingly a superstar society, and in the superstars in baseball, oftentimes, especially like look at this year, the impact is just not there.
I'm actually watching the other baseball playoff series more so for the crowd than the players or matchups. That's honest to God.
Crowd gets into it, man.
The only crowd I'm doing that for in the NBA is the Garden. I'll watch any playoff game at the Garden when they're going bonkers and losing their minds. I just love the atmosphere so much. And when a game is in San Diego, when a game is in Kansas City like last night, when a game is in Detroit or Pittsburgh years ago, the old Yankee Stadium, I don't really care who the players are or the pitching matchup. I want the electricity of the crowd because real playoff baseball crowds, they're going nuts for the third out of every inning and standing up with two strikes.
Over on the Franklin.
playoff crowds.
Over at the Frankel Injury Attorneys Fantex 214. Basketball's tough in this scenario because the Mavericks are making the finals the next 5 years.
No.
817, I watch WrestleMania whether The Rock is there or not. Give a shout out to The Real Sports. Pretty consistent answer here, though. 469, playoff basketball's the worst. 682, checked out on NBA after Mavs are out.
Okay.
So looks like most of the Fantex says NBA is the one that they have the toughest time remaining engaged in.
877-881-1053, a Hurricane Milton update as the sun is obviously up in Florida and everyone is trying to gauge the carnage and the damage. The first thing that we woke up to was Peyton showing the aerial view of Tropicana Field's roof ripped off. It looked like it was TP'd. It looked like it was just wrapped in toilet paper and you can see into the entire stadium, which they were using to house a lot of first responders for shelter. So the roof of Tropicana Field is shredded and gone.
Yeah, and that's like the fact that they were using that for shelter, that's no longer a shelter, obviously. It makes sense. It was the biggest place. It's a big indoor place, but obviously the roof was not able to hold up structurally. And now you got to wonder, like, where do the Rays play? Are they going to be able to fix this in time? Maybe. It takes 2 years to build a stadium.
Maybe this can finally be their excuse to get them out of there.
Maybe. Maybe it might. And then they just go play in, Miami. They just share a place with the Marlins for a couple years until they get their new stadium. I don't know.
But was it just like cloth? Or are we talking metal damage ripped off? Because I would assume like putting that cloth back on and... What other stadiums have that? It makes me think of the old Metrodome with that white... Yeah.
Like a tarp or something almost. Yeah,
like our stadium in Arlington.
Yeah, it's not like the situation with the Superdome years ago when Katrina went through there and it just literally tore apart the roof. It doesn't look like it's nearly that. This does look like it's just vinyl basically on top of it.
Everyone, of course, is paying attention to Lieutenant Dan. This is the guy with one leg in crutches who said, "I'm staying on my boat. Don't come and get me. Don't come and rescue me." This is apparently hard to keep track with the internet, what's real and not. This is apparently a Lieutenant Dan update this morning.
We got the boat here. And Lieutenant Dan here. How'd it go?
How'd the night go?
It was a little rough till about 11:30. I repositioned the boat, and I was heading into the wind. And I slept like a baby from 12:30 to 5 o'clock this morning. I woke up twice to pee. That was it. But other than that, I mean, it's been a great night. I just smoked half a joint. I'm high. I'm watching all the people run around like crazy because of all the water. The water went up. It was up to here last night. It was over the...
There's the boat, still standing.
I mean, believe me, I got battered against the tire, but other than a couple of scuff marks on the side, my boat's in better shape now than it was before because it got washed. So, I mean, everything's a plus. It's a win-win all the way around.
Man, he is dead. I mean, he sounds like somebody in the Saturday Night Live skit about Philadelphia, the way that accent hits.
Water.
So people are like, oh, of course he got saved. He got rescued and now dropped back there. It's a GoFundMe scam. I can't keep track, but I'm going to keep following it. I'm in. I'm invested at this point.
You're with Lieutenant Dan.
With Lieutenant Dan. Random message from Tolo Steven Lopez, who DM'd me on Instagram. He said, we were at the dinner table talking about the hurricane. My oldest daughter asks, are there sharks? I was thinking about this as well. Are there sharks in the 10 to 14 foot swells? I say, no, sharks are too smart for that. They can feel the waters changing because you see everyone standing in water now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gators? Crocs?
There was a video. Somebody opened up their door of their...
It was in their house.
It was in their house. There was a gator in their house. They opened up a door. They went back in, I guess, after the storm maybe made it through. And, there's a gator just chilling in their house.
No.
Yep.
That's well, just Florida, though.
Steven continues, my youngest starts naming off things we do as humans, but putting the shark spin on it. Sharks watch Shark Tube, Shark News. They go to Shark Bucks every morning, and my oldest says, yeah, and they listen to Shark and RJ every day.
Look at that.
LOL, cool dad moment for me. Awesome, Steve.
Old Sharky Sean.
I have your daughter just sit there and, you know, butcher my name.
Sean the Shark.
And so, yeah, Shark and RJ.
Shark.
The RJ and Choppy Show, all of that. Speaking of fish in the sea.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We you know, back in the day when Peyton was a single man and was finding it tough to find any woman that would go for his cheap dinner dates where he refused to get guacamole or even a second margarita for the young lady. If you are single and you're looking for plenty of fish in the sea and looking for the best odds to meet a woman, we've got new research that shows you from Axios where the best ratio of women to men are in the major metropolitan areas. So this is areas with 1.5 million people in the area or more.
Can someone vouch for this, by the way, with the college that you went to and they go, oh my gosh, go to, for me, it was Towson University. It's 4-1. Does that always usually play out in your favor? Like, do you definitely clean up and feel the impact of the 4-5-1 if you went to a college like that? I don't know other areas that that is said about, but
I don't remember. Like back then, it was all rumor. There was no like hard data on this. We went to college basically pre-computer.
I think they knew how many men and women went to college.
Yeah, but it wasn't
back
like
in 2000.
It wasn't like 97, Sean. It wasn't like a thing where you just go on Reddit and find that out.
Well, Axios did get you the data, and they found the five cities where women most heavily outnumbered men. Number one, Baltimore. Number two, Atlanta. Three, Philadelphia.
Now, I heard that about Atlanta. I did hear that about Atlanta. I was in Knoxville. Apparently, Atlanta. Now, the rumor was it was like 9-1. I'm like, there's no way it's 9-1 girl to guy.
It's not that much. Atlanta is apparently for every 100 men, there are basically 106 women. So not a bad ratio at all. I was surprised New York was on here. I would have thought that New York was a little closer to 50-50 than having a heavier weighted female population. On the other hand, the other place where you don't want to go, where men most heavily outnumber women, if you're single and looking to mingle, San Jose, Austin, Texas, heavier demographic towards men, San Diego and Seattle. So it's all the West Coast. And then those West Coast individuals that were moving to Austin, that's what you got right there. That's the best one. But if you're looking for, hey, I need a good ratio of single available women, you're looking at Baltimore, Atlanta, Philly, and New York.
Baltimore's too.
Yeah, but Philly.
You love Philly.
I love Philly as a city to go visit. I would not go. I would not go looking for a partner in Philadelphia, though.
Oh,
would you?
I've only been once.
But everything you know about Philadelphia as a city, would you?
Yeah, like the girl. I always think like Jersey and Philly girls have a certain look to them. I can't describe
there's a look.
It.
There's a look.
I'm like, that girl looks like she's from Philly.
Yes,
that little 5 o'clock shadow.
I don't know that it's a 5 o'clock shadow, although. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Let's preview the Lions with the Cowboys color analyst, Babe Laufenberg, live on Sean and RJ next. It is now time for Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg, who, of course, will have the call of Cowboys Lions along with Brad Sham Sunday on this radio station. Love that he is teasing and promoting the segment on social media, wondering what this picture is. This Fabio getting ready to fly a one-seat jet plane? What was this, Babe?
Yeah, it is. If people go to my Twitter, at Babe Laufenberg. When I was at CBS 11, there was a young lady in the art department. We used to have a lot of fun with different stuff. And so, yeah, she put me in the Fabio, you know, cover, put my face in it. It's pretty damn funny. Now people can do it on their own phone. Back then, needed a professional.
I was about to say,
I can't do that on my phone.
Yeah, I was about to say, can you do this yourself? You know how to Photoshop?
Oh, my gosh. No, anytime you see something like that, someone else has done it for me. Yes.
Are you one of these guys, you got to put the glasses at the end of the nose and you use your cell with two hands to like sit there and operate the cell phone? Or are you still kind of hip and cool with text messaging and tweeting and all that?
You got me up on the first one. I'm that first guy.
All right, we got trivia.
Hey, I do have trivia, but let me quickly say, really enjoyed your interview with Brett Severn this morning.
Thank you.
Got a chance to chat with him at the Victory Plus unveiling that they had at the factory about a month ago or so. And really great guy. And I really think he does a great job.
Yes.
On the analyzing of the stars and everything else. Good sense of humor. I always say two things you want to be: informative, right, and entertaining. And he is both. So
are you are they going to get you out to drop the puck again?
That's a good. Let me just say this. I'm 1-0 dropping the puck.
Yep.
I told Brad Alberts, the president and stars of, president and CEO of the Dallas Stars, I'm your guy. And they played Edmonton, right, in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'm like, total miss on their part by not having me drop the puck, because I dropped it against Edmonton in the regular season. They won. Ooh. Enough said.
All right.
You got it? Okay, you ready for the trivia?
Yes, sir.
I had to make it a little tougher. Okay?
Yeah.
last, you know, I've been a little easy on you guys the last couple of weeks. Okay, so Rico Dowdle, right, has had a receiving touchdown in back-to-back games. Can you name me the last Cowboys running back to have receiving touchdowns in consecutive games? And it was within the same season, you know. So we can't stretch over from 2018 into the opener 2019. Same season.
Richie Anderson.
Consecutive. Oh, that's a good guess, but it's not correct.
Felix Jones.
Another good guess, not correct.
Fabio.
Joseph Randall.
Fabio. Not Joseph Randall.
Huh. Let's see here. It's not Zeke is too easy.
Avion Kayson.
Nope. Am I going to have to go to Peyton?
Yeah.
Guys, think of like, yeah, it's early 2000s. This is Robert Thomas.
Serious was about to guess it as a bit. As a bit answer.
He was a linebacker converted to fullback, but yeah.
44 had a big old bald moose head. I remember Robert Thomas. Right.
That was good. Red Rock. That was a good one. You dug into the bag right there.
All right, I'll go a little easier next week. Okay, and hey, before we can hit the Lions, but Lions related here. Do you see, I see this thing coming down. Would it be awesome for TV and radio and everything connected with media if the Lions are down one at the end of this game, they score with under a minute, and they line up for two?
While throwing to a lineman?
While throwing to a line.
Well, whatever they're going to do. And I would not be, I swear to you, I would not be surprised if the Lions on their first touchdown, right, if they go down, score, take a 6-0 lead, I swear to you, I would not be surprised if, just to make a point, Dan Campbell and the Lions go for two. Yeah, what do you think?
You're
about
the third person to say that now. Nick Eatman, really? Okay. Lions got what? So do you have a relationship with Campbell?
I do.
Tell us about him and be honest. How surprised are you with the resurgence of the franchise? Or did you think, like many, this just meathead that's going to go in there and be too rah-rah and he'll be gone soon?
Well, I didn't say meathead. yeah. Have you seen Dan Campbell? He's still pretty well built.
Yeah.
So I would not want the word to get back to him. Hey, babe, called you a meathead.
Yeah.
No, nobody saw that coming. I don't say nobody, but I certainly didn't. Not that I thought it'd be a failure, but let's just look at all the people that have gone through there, right? It's just been a really hard place to an organization really to overcome. And so, you know, everybody comes in. Hey, he and Sirianni got hired at the same time, right? And their press conferences were both wheels off, right?
Yeah.
So one went wheels off. The city loves him. They've embraced him. The team is doing things they've never done before. And Sirianni's in Philly, even though he's been successful, you know, that thing is clearly heading south. People want him fired. We'll see what happens, you know, with his future. But, you know, again, I think they almost both looked at it as the same guy at that point. Well, you never saw two more wheels off pressers, right, to announce the coach, have you? I mean, I haven't. And they both happened in the same year. But, no, he's done it. Obviously, they've done a great job. They've done a great job personnel-wise. I mean, you look at what they have offensively, and to me, they remind me a little bit of San Francisco offensively. They don't have the fullback that San Francisco has in Juszczyk, but they've got two backs back there. They're obviously really, really good. They've got the tight end. They've got the dynamic receiver in St. Brown, maybe two now with Jameson Williams appearing to come on. So they're fun to watch offensively, are they not?
Yeah, they are. So, with Cam, he's so aggressive. Do players like that? Do players like when a coach just puts the game in their hands
they didn't go for it on fourth down back in Babe's day?
That's true.
No, they didn't. No, we didn't.
But you know what I mean?
Well, I always kind of laugh at that when, oh, this guy's aggressive. Well, he has belief in his offense, right? Because they're going to go for it on fourth and one at the 50. Well, how about belief in your defense, right? We're going to punt them down, and we're going to get them at the 10, and our defense will get us off the field, and we'll get the ball back in good field position. So I always kind of laugh at that because does that mean you don't have confidence in your defense, that they're going to let them go, the other team go 90 yards if you punt it down? So, yeah, I think that's – honestly, I think that's overblown, the whole, you know, they believe in us. Yeah. I think it's overblown. Makes a nice thing for the commentator. to say, oh, gosh, look at the belief they have.
Babe Laufenberg joined us here on 105 Through the Fan. Babe, given what we've seen the last 2 weeks from the Cowboys, which is them winning physical football games in like the face of a lot of adversity, whether it be with injuries or self-inflicted wounds or whatever, does that give you more confidence in Dallas's ability to handle what probably felt like an easy loss maybe 3 weeks ago? And now you look at it and say, well, we've seen them actually win some of these games that are similar to what we anticipate this one being.
I think so. I think it's a good point because now you've shown that, hey, we can play a game without Micah. We can play without D-Law. Now, Pittsburgh's offense is pedestrian. This offense is really, really good. So it's going to be a new test for them. I think the biggest thing, if you're a Cowboy fan, that you can take away from all this is, you know, a lot of teams, they lose players, obviously, and they're not coming back. They're out for the season. They're done. And everybody talks about, well, let's get to Thanksgiving and see where we are. But, you know, they're going to get Micah back. They're going to get D-Law back. They're going to get Deron Bland back. Maybe this week. If not this week, he'll be there for San Francisco. So they're going to get some really good players coming back, which a lot of teams, again, you have injuries and you lose. They're gone for the season. Pittsburgh's lost three offensive linemen for the season. So I think this team is actually going to look a lot different in whatever it's going to be, 4, 6, 8 weeks than it does today. But I think, yeah, to answer the short answer to your question, no question, I think that it gives them confidence that you can go to Pittsburgh, play that kind of defense, which, again, I thought, much like the Cleveland game, the game sort of overshadowed the offense. Now, the offense racked up a lot of yardage, but kind of the same things, the struggles in the red zone have continued. And I don't see them, turning the ball over. Dak had three turnovers in that game. I don't see that happening. Obviously, week in and week out, he takes care of the football. We know that. But the offense is still, I think, not where they need to be or want to be.
Babe Laufenberg here on 105 Through the Fan. What are the Lions' weaknesses? What are the ways that you can see the Cowboys winning this game in which they should attack Detroit?
Well, yeah, no weaknesses offensively. Yeah. They're good on the O-line, good at the receivers, good at the running backs, good at the quarterback. Defensively, teams have thrown the ball on them. They've been obviously very good against the run, but teams have been able to throw the ball decently against them. I always look at yards per attempt because if teams throw it 50 times, yeah, they're going to rack up a lot of yards. But the yards per attempt, they're at 6.5, which is kind of right in the middle of the pack. The yards are they're giving up a lot of passing yards, which they did last year, and they tried to rectify that situation. They signed a corner. They drafted Terry and Arnold with their first-round pick out of Alabama. So they're better back there, but they're still a little bit suspect there. But, Aiden Hutchinson, as we all know, boy, he may be, I don't want to say the best. You know, you can throw Bosa and Micah and all those guys, T.J. Watt, who we just saw, but he's right up at the top of the list in terms of guys that get after the quarterback. He is really, really good. And another guy that's fun to watch. He gets in that same track stance like Bosa in San Francisco, where the one hand is on the ground and the other hand is about at a 45-degree angle up in the air. And it's like, I'm coming.
Babe, we got one team coming into a bye and one team coming out of a bye in this game. Did you find when you were playing that one was better than the other? I know you're more fresh coming out of the bye, but like, are you as sharp?
I was as fresh coming into the bye as I was going out because I didn't play a lot. let me text Troy and see. Hey, Troy, what was it like? Hey, the one year, I think it was 1990 and I was still playing. There were two byes.
Yeah.
Every team had two byes. And so that was pretty wild. But I think the bye is great in terms of not only getting healthy because you have 2 weeks, but I just think leading into it, hey, after this game, all these guys will know after Sunday at 6:30, whenever the game ends, we got a week off. I'm going to rest up. So you can kind of put it all out there in that game and knowing you've got an extra week to heal yourself up. Here's one for you, though, too. You always look at this coach or this team coming into the bye, coming out of the bye. The Cowboys are the only undefeated team since 2020 with the other team coming off a bye. So you guys have obviously pointed out Detroit is coming off a bye. Cowboys have won all their games with the other team coming off the bye after the 2020 season, which I think we've all kind of thrown that one out with Mike Nolan as the D coordinator and COVID. So the Cowboys have been very good facing teams that are coming out of a bye.
Babe, your broadcast partner was vocal yesterday on social media after it was tweeted out that the Cowboys will debut their Navy jerseys for the first time this year when they face the Lions. And then Brandon Laura had asked, who thinks these should be their home uniforms all year round? And Brad said, no. Does he get worked up over the unis?
Brad gets worked up over a little bit of everything. I didn't know that they were going with those unis, to be honest with you. But I don't know if he tweeted it out, but you know the reason why they wear white at home, basically?
No.
So Tex Schramm started that. So that if you're a season ticket holder, you don't come out to the Cowboys game, and the Cowboys are in their blue jerseys and the other team's in white. So every game you go to, it's blue and white, some form of white, right? So his notion or idea was, we'll wear white, and so when Pittsburgh comes in, you'll get the Steelers colors. When Philadelphia comes in, you get the Philadelphia colors.
Okay.
So again, it's not always, okay, they're blue, they're white. So that's why it started up with that, which obviously most teams wear their colors, their home colors at home. But again, you're just looking at a dark jersey and a white jersey week in and week out.
Great.
So I kind of like that idea.
Great stuff, brother. Have a good call. Thank you for the time. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'll go a little easier on the trivia question next week.
Come on, okay. Man. Come on. Great Babe Laufenberg on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How about a little college football kegger? Another quarterback is pulling the move. We got Petty primetime and Nick Saban with a leadership lesson for everyone. College football kegger to kick off the final hour of the show after this.